first thought you'd see me again.
Okay, we were talking about Real Housewives of Miami now being on Bravo, and you were saying about Peacock.
Well, that I've been reading a lot that they're trying to drive more traffic to Peacock mm-hmm. and bring in like more interesting content and like spinoffs of things that like are already popular. So like they're doing a Below Deck that's just for Peacock, and they're mm-hmm. you know, bringing like Miami and then like the Ultimate Girls Trips, and like those are going to Peacock like straight. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the fact that people are just like now, not now discovering, but I guess like now figuring, well, whatever. Yeah, I guess discovering, figuring out that like the whole season's on Peacock and they don't have mm-hmm. to go like piecemeal the season on Bravo is just, you know, it's like surprising to me. So I don't know that mm-hmm. it's really working.
I don't think so either. And like, for me, I get that. I like the fact that they have spinoffs on Peacock. I think that's fun, right? Because it's like a treasure hunt. Like, if you know, you know. So I like that there's like Below Deck Australia, and I would like all the spinoffs to be on Peacock, because then someone like me would go over there to see the Candy Show, the Grand Dame, you know, her show. I want all that on Peacock.
Yeah, but Karen's spinoff has no business on Bravo. I'm sorry. I've been watching it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I am so uninterested in Karen's spinoff. I think Karen is so
overrated. I have it on in the background. It's like background noise.
I think she's so overrated. I'm sorry. No. I know people like live and die for Karen Huger.
Yeah,
and I think she's good on Potomac, but I know that she's not the end all be all for me like she is for some people.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm in that, like, she's fine, like she's grand dame. I can agree with that, but she's not like everything. My grand dame.
Well, I'll represent the fandom because I am a huge Karen fan, but I do understand like not all of us love the same people. So it's good to hear the other side, because I do go on about her a lot. So all the I don't get it fans, here's your moment. You have representation.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. Like, she's like, I don't hate her. I don't hate her.
Exactly.
I just don't like really buy into the like, oh my God, she's the best housewife of all time. Like, she's not. She's definitely not.
I don't think she's the best. I just love her. Like, there's just something I really love about her. Also, like, Lisa Vanderpump. They're a stereotype of a housewife.
Lisa Vanderpump is top tier. But I think what I do like about Karen is that, like, she commits. Like, if she's going to lie about something,
she's going to commit to it.
Stick to like whatever she does. And I respect that. At least I respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it when a housewife like confidently don't get me wrong, I'm not loving Teresa right now, I like that she will be like, even if she gets caught in the lie, she's like, so what, who cares?
I respect that.
I said it was a rumor.
Yeah. Yep. Like, Teresa's having a really rough season this season, but like she's being ever the Teresa, like, she's committed. Yeah. Like, you know, so
yeah
you gotta respect that shit. I mean, it's not like, you know, do you seriously think that they go back and rewatch that and they're like, cringe? Or
you
like,
okay, no, straight up, no, listen, straight up, the best housewives, literally, they're the best housewives because they don't watch themselves. Teresa and watching the show.
That's true.
Yeah, she can't. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no way that you would be able to watch that back and watch yourself be a total asshole and then like just like carry on, like if it's a regular fucking day.
Ramona admitted to just she would fast forward the scenes. She just watches her scenes. And I was like, I don't blame them. I think I was like, why? I was there. What do I need to?
I kind of always envisioned Ramona like studying herself. Because like Ramona is
Ramona's so way into herself.
She's just like so into herself that she's like, this is amazing. I can't believe thing.
She just watches her scenes.
Yeah, just her scenes. Yeah.
You know who I think is sitting there watching and analyzing? It's the housewives that like to produce. You have your Bethany Frankels, Vanderpumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are the ones who get accused of pulling puppet strings.
I do love it. I need to catch up on Jersey, but I mean, Teresa's always Teresa, and like nothing surprises me in coming out of Jersey when it comes to Teresa, but yeah, I'm not the biggest Teresa fan, but I'm like how you said, I'm an appreciator of her sticking to her bullshit. Like,
don't hate the play, I hate the game.
Yeah. Listen, Jersey, listen, if for some, I feel like Teresa's kind of getting fed up with like the Louis shit. And if in like a season or two, she decides she's done, that show's done. Like that show is not, it will be like, if they do a season without Teresa, it'll be like this last season of Vanderpump where it'll be it'll be awful and not the same. And then they'll just let it go because that show cannot move on without
Teresa. Absolutely.
I 1000% agree.
I agree.
Stopped filming the entire show while
she was in prison.
Yes, if that doesn't
legendary.
If that doesn't give you an indication of like how committed they are to Teresa, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, I feel like when they either like, you know, like, well, that actually leads to a good question about like New York. How do you guys feel about this whole, they're gonna do one show with like these OGs and then like a younger version, I guess, of like modern. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
But I don't know. Some people in the media seem like super excited about it. And I'm just like, this is jumping the shark. Like they're doing it. Like this is what you do. Andy said that when they have run out of options and ideas, that's when they would do like Ultimate Girlship, and then Ultimate Girlship just happened. So now it's like,
and I loved, but Ultimate Girlship was good.
Everybody loved it.
It was good.
It was great. And the ex-wives one that they're doing now at like Bluestone Manor is
I can't wait for that.
What absolutely. I've missed
it. They're doing
a season two of Ultimate. Yeah, and so it's at Bluestone Manor. So it's at Dorinda's
house. Bluestone Manor? Oh my
God. Dorinda. It's, hold on. Listen to this lineup. It's Dorinda, Taylor Armstrong, Eva Marcil, Phaedra Parks, Brandy Glanville, Vicky, and Tamara.
Oh my God, this is so messy.
Wild.
Yes.
Wild.
Yes. At Bluestone Manor. Who gets the fish room? I don't know. I can't wait. I hope it's Vicky. I hope Vicky gets the fish room.
Oh, this is so good.
Well, I think that there is no longer a fish room.
Right, yeah, because she remodeled the house.
Dorinda redecorated.
She remodeled.
She'll call it the formal fish room.
I think it still has like a fish undertone.
I think it has all fish.
Right,
yeah, but it has all fish. So that it's room. Like the memorial. It's like, here lies what was formerly the fish room. And it's like...
Oh, this is so messy.
Symbolic.
How exciting. See, I would pay money to see that on Peacock. That's how you drive me to Peacock.
Right.
I love that.
So that's happening soon. I think in June, I think that's coming.
Those are the rumors,
But New York, I have very mixed feelings about it because I feel, as much as I love to watch Ramona be a disaster, I feel like Ramona is like past her time on the show. And I think they're scared to let her go.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't get it. Like what hold does she have on
that? I don't know. Right.
It's not Ramona Whiteley.
Like, it's a Ramona. She's like the classic MAGA white lady that a lot of people are into that.
Yep.
So
I don't know. A lot of people were into Kelly Dodd and they still let her go.
That is my argument too. I'm like, okay, so then how come they let Kelly Dodd go?
But Kelly doesn't have the longevity Ramona does. So
yeah.
Ramona's been there, what are we on, 16 seasons of New York at this point already, or 14 OG. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she is the longest running OG at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, I understand for like that perspective. And I Sonia Morgan is my favorite housewife of all time.
I do have love for Sonia.
I think she for me is like the perfect formula for a housewife because she's a mess.
Yep.
She knows she's a mess. She owns the fact that she's a mess and she doesn't care and she continues to put it out there.
And she has the best one-liners.
She really does.
And the best part is that she's the least produced housewife because she's not produced.
It's very authentic.
Sonia's very
authentic.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Sonia's gonna sit there and say, "Sometimes you catch dick and then you die, and then that's it." You cannot write that shit.
No. But I have mixed feelings about it because I do want to see like a diverse younger New York cast that's more representative of Manhattan, mm-hmm. or even, I mean, whatever, even going into Brooklyn or whatever, like, but just something that's more representative of New York. But I would miss like the Sonia, yeah. Luann, Ramona dynamic. Yeah. So I don't know that this is the right idea. Right. I don't know how to feel about it. At this point, it doesn't matter because I've told my husband says like Bravo could film a turd for an hour and I would watch it.
They're totally right.
Yeah, so true.
I am on this until the wheels fall off. But
so many of us are. We go, we come back. My DVR is filled right now to the room.
I was at a brunch earlier. I was talking to my friend and she's like, oh yeah, so and so said like we should go to BravoCon this year. And I was like, girl, I've signed up for the alerts. I am right.
I have a hotel. I booked a hotel already before the prices get crazy.
Oh, you guys have to be our correspondents and I will repost all your stuff.
I'm going to do that right now.
Oh, yeah. I booked a Courtyard Marriott close to the Hammerstein Ballroom just in case. And the flights aren't, for at least, the flights from Miami as of right now are pretty like affordable.
If you feel free to give me a buddy pass, don't let my pride stop you. Okay, go on. Where is it at this year? I don't think
they've announced a venue yet, so I don't know if it's going to stay at Hammerstein Ballroom or if they're going to move it somewhere bigger to like Javits.
I think it is moving to Javits because I listen to Radio Andy on Sirius.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
And Andy on his show alluded to it's going to be at a bigger venue and I can't say about it now. And
then whatever. As long as we're on in Manhattan, then I guess it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I really don't care. As long as I'm on the island of Manhattan, exactly. I will get to where I gotta get.
Exactly. Nice. So I already told my husband, I'm like, this is the weekend, like don't count on me. You're staying with the kids. Like I am going.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta see. I don't know how wild they're gonna get with these tickets, but last year, I mean, there must be more now because they sold out pretty fast last time. And if they're going for a bigger venue.
Dude, that's insane though. I remember when I tried to go the last time, like tickets were like $1,000. I can't roll like that. That's insane.
That's ridiculous. I'm willing to go as high as 500 just because that was my limit for Bad Bunny and I like hustled.
That's fair.
I stayed on a queue on Ticketmaster.com during work hours for three hours.
Did you get in?
Get those tickets. Of course I did.
Nice. I can't. That part of me that's like, that loco. I can't do it.
I know. But then there's this other part of me, thanks to the pandemic, that I'm like, YOLO, man, when are you gonna I wanna have fun. I could be dead in 6 months.
You're like Bethany, right? Live it all, say it all.
Yes, yes, mention it all.
But in
okay, I'm back.
Right,
sorry about that.
Go to it all.
Are we good? Are we dilating?
No, I'm fine. It's just that my kid was out on a play day and they just brought him back, so I had to like say hi. Mm.
You might know. Do you know how much the tickets are right now for BravoCon?
They haven't announced them yet. Yeah,
I know that you guys are like on the edge for this.
I have an alert. I've been stalking.
Exactly. I got the alert too. I'm like, I am not. No.
I know. Last time there were like three different tiers. There was like a general admission. Mm-hmm. There was like a mid-range and then there was a VIP. And the general admission was like 200 something for the weekend for all 3 days. Okay. And then it was like, I want to say like maybe 500 or 600 for like that mid-range. And VIP was 1500, but VIP included crazy shit though. Like I had expectations for VIP. Like one of them was like the cast of Vanderpump Rules better be slinging me drinks if I'm paying $1,500. And sure enough, they had a party.
They were
with DJ James Kennedy, where the Toms were bartending, and Sheena sang "Good as Gold." Like I would have gladly paid $1,500. They had the closing show. It was Luann's Cabaret for the VIP.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would have gladly paid $1,500 for that. I would have probably paid more for that. So we'll see.
Well, I'm excited. You guys keep me posted. I will live vicariously through you all.
D- Did anybody see Lisa Rinna's post from earlier today?
No.
She reshared a photo from like her Playboy shoot like 15 years ago.
She's that like, woman doesn't age. She's amazing.
No, at all. No, she's a stunning body. She's like, she's incredible. But she has like the, she's fully, I don't know if they took it down because I saw it a couple hours ago, but they, she was like full on naked in her, like on Instagram. She posted it.
Look right now. Like, you know, and she looks phenomenal. Because when she did that photo shoot with her daughter, I was like, man, my eye just gravitates to Lisa Rinna. And I was like, let me see how old she is. Wow. She's stunning. Oh, yeah, she looks stunning. I hate her so much. Look at her.
That is a nice Hollywood. Like,
yes, of course. Well-kept Hollywood. I'm willing and ready. Like, I need to drink something, please. Yes, yes. Take my soul. Go for it. I want to look like that.
Exactly. I've said it over and over again. Like, I would, if I had like the choice, like if somebody approached me with like a Death Becomes Her situation,
right,
or, like, yeah, I had to like commit murder or do some crazy shit to just look like that and my rest of my life, like, sign me the fuck up. Like, me too. Zero hesitation.
Yes, like a Meryl Streep, right? She's like, check okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. Me too. Like, these bitches make me hate myself. I love them so much.
I know. Honestly, I was rewatching the episodes earlier, and I was thinking that about Alexia. I was like, bro, that lady is over 50. Mm-hmm. I cannot.
Mm-hmm. They look great. I mean, J-Lo, she's 54. I'm like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, but 54. J-Lo lies, though. J-Lo, there's Dude, there's no way that you're gonna sit there and tell me that, oh, I don't drink coffee and alcohol and I just put olive oil on my face and that's why you look at that.
I don't believe her.
I don't believe that for a second.
I don't know that that's all she does, but I do think she does not drink, because that's not a secret you can keep.
No, that's fine. Out. That's fine that they're not drinking, but I don't think it's.
But we're talking about like additional, like you're doing other like stuff. You're doing lasers, you're doing maybe some injectables.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's just good jeans and olive oil. You know what I mean?
I want it. Whatever she's having. I want that. Her skin, I mean, she looks almost the same as she did 20 years ago. It's unfair. Because we don't age that way. Real humans.
Right.
That's false. They don't. I was going to ask you guys something. Oh, because you were saying about like the housewives. I was really happy. And I know we mentioned this before, but like we finally had, and I know she's not a favorite, but you know what? I'm really happy. The only housewife that follows us, Jen Shaw. Thank you.
Listen, I'll take it. Yeah,
I'll take it. Like, she is we'll following the Latinas.
Whatever we can get.
Cool. I don't hate Jen Shaw. I got to tell you.
I think
Jen Shaw is great television.
I agree.
She honestly gets it.
Yeah. Honestly, I would reserve my hatred for, like, I want to see, like, a conviction. And then I'll hate her.
I do think, and if she hears this, Jen, I'm not, like, I do think the evidence is stacked up against her.
I'm not advocating for a conviction. I'm just saying, like,
I'm not gonna hate her
until she's actually. If she's convicted, then I'll hate her. I don't know.
I just don't think the odds are in her favor at this point. Like, with everything that's gone on, and like everybody at this point that is quote unquote under her has pled guilty and has taken some kind of situation. Yeah. Like, none of that.
Listen, if it's one thing we know in the law field, is that you do not want to, under any circumstances, go up against the federal government. You just don't. Right. Which is why, listen, if she's innocent and that's why she wants to fight this and she's fighting it, she's like, I'm innocent, more power to you. I applaud that, because I think even, especially if you're just like a common folk stuck in this thing and you are innocent, but you are... you know, you're charged like this, and like the federal government has like a over 95% success rate. Like, they don't play. Like, when they file charges against you, they are sure. They are positive. Yeah, they know.
That's the thing, is the state attorney of New York. I mean, the attorney, they're the district that's like Southern District of New York. Like, they don't fuck around.
They do
like,
not.
There's no, like, I feel like there might be some delusion there with the whole maintaining innocence thing. I did feel bad for her this season when she was talking about how, like, they've gotten all of like Coach's family like out of Compton, and they've they help so many people, and like they take care of like their family, and I can't imagine the pressure and the stress that that is on somebody who has all these people, not just like their own children or their own like direct immediate family, but like all these other people. But then at the same time, it was like disgusting for me to watch her drain her retirement account. And then she still gave these bitches like diamond necklaces.
I was like, what's going on here? I was like, come on.
I was like, what is happening? Like, your mother just drained her entire retirement account because you needed $2 million for your legal defense. And you went and gave these bitches diamond necklaces.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if maybe the jewelry store gave them for like whatever. Yeah, you don't know about that.
No, right. But it's just, you got to know the optics. Right.
But the the optics are not good. You know,
I'm sure the likelihood that those were, you know, sponsored is high. But you have to think about the optics. You just have to, especially when you're in that position.
I don't think she does. I think she does a lot of things. Right. I think she does a lot of things on like just impulse because she knows it looks good for the show.
Yeah.
And there is there is a level in that sense. There is a level of authenticity in Jen Shah that I do like, which is why I don't hate her. Cause I do think that she's crazy. Like she's, but she's crazy in like that good housewife way that we want to see.
Definitely. Exactly. I do love Jen Shah. I think she's a lot of fun. I think she's great TV. You know, I've thought a lot about her case and all of that. I genuinely think she doesn't understand. And it kind of goes back to like what we were just saying, right? What I would give to look a certain way, honestly, if that meant that I was like the head of some Herbalife pyramid scheme, I don't think I'd bother myself too much to know what the fuck they're actually doing. You know, I come from a not wealthy background. It, again, what I said about Erica Jane, if I ever married well, I wouldn't give two shits what he was doing, because for the first time in my life, I could breathe. I have insurance. Yes. I can go to the doctor. You know, like those are the little things you have a full fridge.
I mean, just the
whole fridge.
All the time.
I don't have to like budget.
Not like, oh wait, let me wait until I get paid on Friday to go.
What can I eat? I can buy vegetables when you want because they're expensive. Yeah. I can buy veggies. I can buy lettuce, salads. I can buy fancy salads. Like my whole life would change. And so I put myself in those shoes. I honestly know myself. I would be so happy living off the hog. I wouldn't care what was happening. And so when I watched the Hulu documentary on her, well, it was on her, but really the scheme, it's really fucked up. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, holy shit. I had no idea this was happening. Mind you, this just happened to my own mother, which is why I've been on a break. She was hustled and hacked, and they took $500 before I stopped the bleeding of her bank account. They had full access. Like they managed to tell her to download a remote app. And because they said that it was to help elderly during the pandemic so that they wouldn't have to go into the store, she believed it because it was logical. My mother, who has a bachelor's degree, who worked for the state of Texas, she's an educated woman, and it was logical to her. It made sense.
Yeah, but that's how my mom. That's how people like what Jen Shah is allegedly accused of. That's exactly the kinds of thing that they fall for.
And that was my point. Right. And that was my point. So that's how I felt prior to, right, when I watched this documentary, and I was like, okay, well, it's the higher ups, and it's like a pyramid scheme. I know they're coming for the big shark. And so she's somewhere in the middle, lower level, off to the side. And then she has her own pyramid scheme going on under her. So I could see how she doesn't know where the fuck this is going to, because she's just getting those checks, not questioning anything. And that's like bad business management. You should be on top of everything. You should know where everything goes. But like, we've also watched Undercover Boss, and how many of them are like, what? I had no idea this was happening. So that's where I was. But now that it happened to my own mother, now that I see the extent, now that I see the hustle, it is so fucking sad and disrespectful. And it like breaks my heart that now I'm like, yo, this is like, this is for real. This is people's like retirement. My mom only lost 500, but like in that documentary, there was a teacher that lost like 66,000. And she was trying to build a side business during the pandemic because teachers were down and she had to pay her bills, and they kept draining her and draining her. So although I don't think, like, let's say her hand is directly in the cookie jar, I still agree with that. But the cookie jar is in your house.
Are you talking about Erica or are you talking about Jen?
Jen. Okay. Like, the cookie jar is in your house. You're still responsible for that. Like, you can't
I was under the impression that Jen was, like, higher up.
Well, according to the Hulu documentary, it's like,
there's I didn't see it, so I couldn't tell you.
This is what I understand. And then, G, you tell me if this is correct or not. So, like, I understood it that there's, like, the big fish, right? The big fish that makes all the money. And I kind of compare it to a pyramid scheme. They are the ones that they're really after.
It
absolutely
is. It is.
Yeah, it's all trickle up, right? And so they're the ones that the FBI and the government is really after, which goes back to that brunch scene where she's like, I have no idea who these people are. I believe that. She doesn't. And then you go down a couple levels. They then had their distributors fan out to different states. So then one of them fanned out to Tucson area, Las Vegas area. He then got Jen underneath him. Jen then got her own team. So she is very far removed from who's the actual bad guy. But now that, like I said, now that it's happened into my own home, you do need to be held responsible that although it's not your hand directly in the cookie jar, but there is a cookie jar at your house. You can't just act like, oh, because at some point, even if you're selling Herbalife or whatever the fuck, you got to know your product. Like, you got to know where that money comes from. So I don't, like, I do think at some point there was a conversation where they're like, oh, you know, we take customers' credit cards and we bill them. Me, as an intelligent person, I would have been like, wait, what do you mean? And I would have wanted further explanation. That is where I think there is fault in her, that although I'm sure you were happy and money's coming in, at some point, also Erica Jane, you have to ask, wait a minute, like, in all these years, how was there never a question to say, wait, how does this money, like, I get a check in the mail from, like, I got a settlement for $12. I was suspicious as fuck. I was already like, where is this from?
Like, class action lawsuit.
Yeah. I got $12. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this a hack?
Like a Bank of America.
Exactly. And so that's
I sign up for class action lawsuits all the time.
Right.
The tuna one that's going around. I love tuna and I buy a lot of tuna. So I signed up for it.
Yeah.
I may be entitled to compensation.
You may. And that's what I mean where their fault lies with her and Erica. Do I think that they were directly involved? No. But the fault lies in you being blind and oblivious for so long, because I get a $12 check. I'm wondering where it came from. Like, how do you have millions, and for Jen Shaw specifically, how do you not question where your company, like, how do you not question it? That does have some kind of responsibility. You do need to say, it might be, I'm not the guys at the top. Sure. I get she doesn't know. She really is blind about all this, because I don't think she realizes that the guy that hired her in Tucson and LA was part of this larger, I don't think she ever asked, but that doesn't make it right. This is how
you can only plead ignorance for so long.
Right. Because now that you know, how are you not sitting there like, holy fuck? Same thing with Erica Jane. Now that you know, that's been the biggest thing, right? Like, how are you not sitting there like,
wow. At least to maybe defend Erica a little bit, like, Tom Girardi was Tom Girardi before Erica was in the picture.
Right.
You know, and he was a super high powered, like, LA attorney for years and years and years before he met her. So with Erica, I'm more inclined to believe that she, like,
I do too. I don't think she knew.
Found out, like, really late in the game. And because, like, if he's been, like, this buku attorney for, like, 30 years, 40 years, however long he had been in practice by the time they got into a relationship, I wouldn't question anything.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, that's what we all said last time. Like, I don't think she knew the way people think she knew. I think she knew at the very end. Now, the only thing that, it was my court of opinion, the only thing I would say is, like, girl, but when he transferred those $20 million into Erica Jane.
Yeah, that's where, like, the writing's a little on the wall. But
yeah,
that's where I kind of would have been like, okay, this is a little weird. Like, why are you, but again, like, I, like, you, to your point, like, I grew up very middle class also. Like, I mean, we weren't poor, but we weren't like, I had friends that lived in $1 million houses in super nice parts of Miami. I didn't grow up in that. That wasn't me either. So I definitely would be very, very ignorant. I am willing to overlook a lot of things.
Yeah, me too.
If my credit card bills are paid and I don't have to worry about like,
absolutely.
You know,
I'm not going to question shit.
Exactly.
Now that's what I mean. Like, I don't blame them at all. I was one of the ones not attacking them. I don't hate them. I do have a lot of consideration. The only part where me, but again, maybe that's just my personality and that I'm nosy as fuck. If you transfer 20 million, I would be like, yo, I'm not going to prison. What is this? Where'd it come from?
Yeah.
I'm suspicious I'm as fuck. Yeah. Yeah. My mind automatically goes there all the time. Like I said, that check that came here, I was like, wait, whoa. I'll give you another example. One time I was offered a job in DC before I officially moved there, and I had not heard of this company. People are going to be like, oh my God, you're so political. How did you not know? I didn't. That wasn't part of my world. I took the interview, beautiful office. I went in there, lived my best life. They paid for everything. I have never been wine and dined by a company before. And then at the end, it was very clear that they were a hardcore Republican organization.
Oh, yeah. No.
Clearly, I am.
Red flag. Not,
red flag. Yeah. I should have known with the money. First of all, we don't have that kind of money on our
exactly.
side.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dems don't roll like that. We don't have that kind of money.
Certain ones do. Like, yeah. If your last name is Clinton, you do.
Yeah. But, right. That's true. The 1% is 1% regardless of which.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But for an office that didn't have a big name attached to it, that should have been my first indication. And mm-hmm. So then when I told a friend about this interview, she's like, oh my God, you know that that's funded by the Koch brothers. No, I did not.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. No, I did not. And so again, when they sent me they asked me for like receipts for anything I had spent on myself that day, like if I had gone out to eat a couple times while we were waiting for the interview, and I had sent them the receipts. But once my friend told me who it was, I never cashed the reimbursement. And she's like, you're not going to cash in. I said, nope, I never want it on my record in this lifetime that I cashed a check from this organization. Like, I'm just suspect as fuck all the time. Like, that's just my personality. And this was like before 2016. And I remember telling her, I said, look, I don't know who I'm going to grow up to be in the long run. I don't know who I'm going to end up as, but I don't need someone in 2045 saying like, oh, didn't you cash this check in 2015?
I don't even remember. Maybe?
Yeah. So like, I'm just suspect that way of everything. And that's the only part of me that is like, how did y'all not question 20 million in something that has your name on it? I don't give a fuck what he does. But once my name is involved, that's the only part. And the same thing goes with Jen Shah. I don't think she ever gave a fuck. She's roller skating with 2 Chainz over here. You know, she's living her best
life. Well, in that respect, I don't think that's why maybe Coach never questioned it.
Right.
Right.
But then again, remember, he used to be an attorney. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah. No shade. But we all know. Attorney,
find it very hard to believe that Coach Shah didn't question what she was doing,
especially because they knew each other since they had nothing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Then you're rolling in checks. I'd be like, the fuck? Again, I'd be like, don't put my name on nothing. I am doing that. What privilege that spouse privilege?
Spousal privilege.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched enough mob movies to know. I'm not saying shit. Don't let me know.
If somebody gets married right before a murder trial, you know why.
Exactly.
And again, also,
I'm always very wary of people who just rent their houses.
Oh, touche.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And I'm saying rent your house and you're on this reality show purporting wealth.
Yeah,
you know, right. There's nothing wrong with renting. I'm just saying.
No, but it is a flag. Yeah, when it's big incomes
unless
that
it's like a Heather Dubrow situation where they were constructing a house and needed somewhere to live.
Right.
Like what the Gorgas are doing now, even though the Gorgas are shady, but for the sake of argument,
they're shady.
Yeah.
They are, but you know, but they're building a house, so they're renting a house. And like, you need somewhere to live. But if you're just like renting a house to just And it's an Airbnb. It's not even a rental house. It's an Airbnb. Like, you so tell that it's an Airbnb.
It's like a literal ski chalet.
Oh my God.
It's so impersonal. Like, that's the thing. It's like the way that it's decorated nicely. I'm not like trying to shade the house, but you know how Airbnbs are just very generic. Like, there's no personal touches. You know, there's not like,
it's like a model home.
Right. Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
I can't wait to see how this all goes down. But going back to like us, the Housewives personality, even though everything went down with Mary and her comments against Mexicans, and I went on that whole thing, I actually didn't want to see her go either. I think
I didn't.
A lot of fun to watch too. Like her, Jen Shah.
No lie. I was like kind of waiting for the shoe to drop with Mary, because Mary's like, I promise, has some kind of like tax fraud, religious.
Oh God, yes, tax shelf deep diving situation. Her shit forever. Like,
I really wanted to see that shit unfold too. You know, fascinated, so.
Especially knowing that her own mother filed a petition against Robert Sr. Because she felt that he was trying to like steal from when he was married to her mother. And then she had her own mother's body exhumed.
Yes, she had the body exhumed. Who does that?
All this shit. Why? Because I went into it. Gee, you'd appreciate this. I went into the documents, the court documents. It's because when there was a transfer of wealth, they found that he was guilty of forging Mama Rose, I think, the grandmother.
I think that's what they called her. Yeah.
He did forge her signature, and he was found guilty of that, and the judge ordered him to repay the amount, and so that's all he did. But that is why she wanted the body exhumed, because he was convicted of the forgery. And so she was like, and so she had the body exhumed, where like they actually brought her out from the ground and did a second autopsy and found no foul play. But then there's also other members from the church that had gone in and said that he actually, in front of the congregation, like told them that God spoke to him and that Mary was promised to him and that she needed to not have relations with her husband anymore. Like, it was this real mind.
Yeah, because she was married to somebody else.
She was married to somebody else. Yeah.
That's a lot in front of the congregation.
He put them both out.
He basically like bullied a prayer circle into agreeing with him that God was calling him to marry Mary.
And I know there was something that one of the congregation members said, that he actually even brought up fellatio. Like, I can't even say it in a church.
He said that Mary could no longer be with her husband is because he was forcing her to do ungodly acts. So that was part of it. He said that, like, he forced.
Oh, he said out loud. Okay.
But like in church. And it was like this whole thing. And then the church was heavily divided. They asked who's going to stick with us and rock with us. And literally down the middle. And her mother then started the temple.
With the mom,
So she is now a direct competition with her mother's church.
Well, the church is completely closed down now.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So I did not want her to go. I was waiting for the reckoning of Mary Cosby.
I agree. And
it was her choice.
Yeah, I wanted that Hulu documentary.
I know. I think I hate when they don't show up to the reunions. And I agree with Andy. Like, you're allowing somebody else to like run your narrative in that sense.
Exactly. You know, because now we're running the narrative that she is guilty.
Right. Exactly.
With Mary, I mean, like you guys said, she's a lot of fun to watch as a housewife. Like, she's a wackadoodle. I appreciate those 100%, housewives.
100% a wackadoodle.
I think the thing with what's her name that you mentioned earlier, ¿cómo se llama esta girl from OC? Real uncouth.
Kelly
Dodd. I think the reason she had to go is because her shit was too in your face, as opposed to like Ramona's, that is much more on the fragility side and crying and have a cocktail. Kelly's just like, you know.
Yeah, Kelly was the confrontational. Actually, I heard that more so why Kelly had to go was because her social media, like Ramona's not gonna repost Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like everybody knew about Ramona, but because obviously you can look up political donations and she's there and like whatever, because Jill Zarin does too,
right?
Oh, Jill Zarin's gonna be on that second season of the girls trip too. I forgot to mention
her. Jill Zarin was called into as a witness for Donald Trump Jr. like
so as like people know that, but Jill Zarin is and Ramona are not on social media like reposting this. Kelly also had things that were like racist. She there was that hat that they gave her that was that the all wives matter, something like that.
Drunk wives.
You're right. Drunk wives matter. There was that, like, she was like constantly attacking people in the comments. And
yeah, because like Emily is like on the right wing. Emily, OP, yeah, she is. You know, and
which she's very unfortunate because I really like her. But
me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And then there's like other all of Jersey, except. Marge and
I don't think Jackie.
Jackie
is
Jackie. Here's my thing with Jackie. I don't really like trust her anymore because she was willing to not just take, but also post on her Instagram a picture with Kelly Dodd, and I was like, ooh,
oh, that's right.
I thought you were smart.
See, that's here's the thing is that I've never been like fully convinced on Jackie as a housewife, which the rumors are swirling that she's being demoted to friend of for next season.
She should.
Yeah, and honestly, in a real life perspective, when it comes to her eating disorder, where she says like that the drama triggers her, it's probably better for her. But
I feel Bravo wants to be careful about liability now.
Right, exactly. True. So, but remember that Jackie was a huge fan of Teresa and like really wanted to be on the show. The ones that it's very like Noella energy of like just wanting to be on the show for a lot of years. So, one that it worked out well with is Jennifer Aydin, because I know Jennifer Aydin was also a fan of the show before. But
see, she admits it. There's something I appreciate.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what I was going to. Is that Jennifer Aydin admits it, and Jennifer Aydin, like, as much as she gets on my nerves sometimes, she plays the game. Like she knows how to do it.
Yeah.
So
she gets on my nerves too. I love her. I hate her. But there is something I do appreciate about her being like, well, I'm playing the game. That's not my fault that you can't keep up.
She's doing her job.
She cracks me up. I like her.
Her nose is terrible. Her nose is so bad.
She was so pretty before. I don't understand what happened.
I don't know. I mean, this is what her third nose job. I thought it was fine.
But she was fine last season. Like, I don't see anything wrong. I don't know what happened.
Well, whatever.
But you guys are from Miami, so I feel like you guys can spot imperfections a lot
faster. Where was I the other day? I was somewhere the other day. I don't remember where. And there was somebody that came in and like the surgery was bad. And I was like, damn. I'm like, lady, you're like, I know you're like in your like mid-60s, but you look like not good.
Well, if I ever have a ton of money, I'm going to you guys to tell me where I need to go.
Not Hochstein, I can tell you.
I was going to say, not the blue dog.
Nice. Perfect segue back. So going back to Miami, I'm very happy to see them on Bravo finally. And I do appreciate the spinoffs on Peacock, but that is also why I was super offended, because they were the only franchise that was on Peacock. Like, they ran, what is it? The RUT. I hate that acronym. Ultimate Girls Trip. They ran Ultimate Girls Trip first before Miami. And like, again, we have all these other spinoffs running on Bravo. Like, that's not, I don't know, for the Latina representation, I'm like, y'all are some bullshit.
It felt like a disrespect, but it's kind of hard to gauge, because it's like, this is the first time a Real Housewives show has been revived. I wouldn't mind if they revived DC. Just be a little more careful this time.
Bravo. I loved DC.
DC is a lot of fun. Yeah.
DC I loved. And I get it, because when the federal government tells you you have to shut down, enough time has passed. And also it gave us Potomac, and Potomac is really good. So Potomac. I'm okay with it. But I loved the DC women, with the exception of Mikhail, which, speaking of, by the way, just happened to be scrolling through Instagram, and who posted it? Oh, Faces by Bravo posted White House Correspondents' Dinner 2022. And it's the picture of Mikhail with Joe Biden from when they crashed.
Clever.
I'm going to send this in our chat right now so that you guys can see it. I loved it. And that's another one that was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in the best way possible.
I posted in our highlights on Latinas Watching Bravo. I did one day DC was on and I watched the whole thing, and then I ended up following her to see what happened with her after that.
Oh my god, you didn't know?
Well, back then I didn't care to know, I guess, but like she it was long ago.
Crazy.
She went on, she like ran away, the husband, did the whole what's that show where missing people like they did a whole a show on like looking for her. They even had a reenactment of her missing.
They absolutely
all
did.
To run away with the lead guitarist.
The guitarist from Journey. But who had apparently been like a good friend, like a close friend for like a very long time. They're still together.
Yeah. She legit ran away and like
I don't blame her, because that guy was super shamed.
Here's what I was gonna say though. She was 42 when this happened. Shoot your shot, ladies.
Yeah.
She ran away from her husband, staged a kidnapping. And he had everyone looking for her because she ran away with her boyfriend, who happened to be a lead guitarist of a very iconic band. They're still together. Yeah. So like, ladies, shoot your shot.
And it's been at least 10 years at this point, I want to say, right?
She did that at 42.
They also got married on pay-per-view.
There you go.
So that's
that congressional testimony was wonderful. Ugh. Plead the fifth to literally
everyone. As crazy as she was.
Yeah.
But see, as crazy as she was, there was another man out there saying, that lady is for me.
But I wonder now, just despite all of that and all the effort that she went through to like, she was nuts, because I know the other ladies are saying, but like, how much of that was like from this guy that she was like, or was like,
exactly. I think,
she's like, a result.
All her. Tom Cruise series, or no, what, Tom and Katie?
No, Holmes, like situation? Stockholm syndrome, like from this guy. Like,
I think if she had to like basically gone girl this guy, she's basically she was trying to escape him.
Fake her death.
Good point.
He must have been like super controlling. What if she's like never told us, but he like kept her in a basement and like let her film it, like brought her out to film the show?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's you don't know how bad it was. Tom and Katie Holmes situation. She had to plan an escape.
Exactly.
Yes. Like with an underground tunnel. Like,
have you seen that picture of Nicole Kidman walking out when they her divorce was finalized? Like, come on.
Oh, one of my favorite memes.
Yeah.
Like when I read that Katie Holmes had to plot a tunnel, her father hired outside help to get a tunnel. She had to actually escape the premises. Like, how do we all just like move on and act like it was fine? Another Hollywood divorce, like insane.
That's okay. She was banging Jamie Foxx for 10 years, so good for her.
I know, good for her.
I've seen Django. Good for her.
And
Garcelle says that he's very well endowed.
Did Garcelle date him too?
They never took it there, but she saw him. Like, there was like a scene when they filmed the Jamie Foxx show. She's like, she saw an outline. She's like,
Well, listen, if you watch Django, I don't know if you've seen that movie. If you watch Django, there's a scene where he's like tortured and he's upside down. And he's full naked. That shit goes like almost to his chest.
It's
like a baby's arm. Are you kidding me?
Himself.
Yes, for real.
Basically, it had an elbow.
Oh my god, I love that this conversation has gone there. That's hilarious.
Yeah, Garcelle in her book says that that they never really hooked up or anything, but that they were like flirty and you know.
Which another one that's Traga Años, she's gorgeous. Like I hate her too. She's part of that, but I think she's natural. I don't think she's a lot of enhancements. No. Or does she say in the book?
I don't know. I haven't read her book, but no, she looks pretty much the same of when she's. Because I used to watch a Jamie Foxx show, and she looks kind of the same. She looks
great. Yeah, she's another one. Okay, so for everyone tuning in, we promise we're gonna cover episode 4 and 5 of Real Housewives of Miami. We are back. Miami is now on Bravo, and thankfully we had actually recorded the first 3 episodes, so we're right on track with everyone else watching episode 4 and 5. So welcome back, ladies, Real Housewives of Miami correspondents.
Good to be back.
Great to be back.
This is actually a really good one because there was a lot of chisme that happened. I took notes. I rewatched them earlier today. We talk about the episode starts with Julia telling us about her baby Max. And
yes,
I remember researching that. It did, according to like bloggers, right, which I'm not saying they're like credible news sources, it does seem a little sketch.
Super
catch. Right? Yeah. What did you guys think about that? I really do believe she was targeted, but I mean,
I mean, look at how the baby's dad was found in, like, his mistress shot him in the chest and he was wearing like a latex, like,
what the hell? Situation. I didn't see that part. No.
Yes. That's like infamous. Yes. His mistress shot him.
This was her husband at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I don't know if they were married, but the baby daddy,
who apparently like wanted nothing to do with the child.
Yeah.
So that's
And so then he was found after the baby died.
Yeah, yeah. After, it was I think a few years later he was. Yeah, they found him in his like apartment in Paris, like.
And not to get like ahead of ourselves, but if you watch the season on Peacock, she tells the story during the reunion, like detail.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it's I don't want to like give it away for people who haven't seen it yet, but it is intense. It's super intense.
It's online. It's like you can.
Yeah, it's public knowledge. So you can definitely, it's like Googleable, but.
Well, if it's Googleable, tell us what are the details. I haven't Googled that part. I only like looked. So at
she
the baby.
She says that she was like looking to hire a nanny, and she had like drama with the dad, and then this woman like showed up, but like she was actively looking for a nanny, and it's the way that she makes it seem is that like this lady kind of showed up like kind of out of the blue from an agency that she was looking into, and then like a week later. The baby died of like shaken baby syndrome. Like the lady shook the baby to death. So she believes that because this guy was like a billionaire and like was very powerful and well-connected that like since he wasn't really like involved in the baby's life and he didn't want anything to do with the baby, she believes that he planted her in the agency and sent her to Julia to kill the baby. And then the guy ends up dead like a couple months later.
No, then the baby turns up dead. The lady disappeared, like never comes back to the house. No one can ever find her. Like, she's definitely hasn't been prosecuted for this. And then, under like crazy ass circumstances, a few years later, you know, the guy is found dead.
So, wow. So this is very like, because I've also watched Killing Eve.
Yes.
I totally believe this. wow. He sounds like he did send an assassin, apparently. And that makes sense, right? Because especially in a lot of other cultures, ours included, like a male heir, right, would inherit
things,
right? Like that.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to like dig more into that. But I thought that was really heartbreaking. And then, I don't know, there was that whole reaction with Gertie and Adriana being hella annoyed. What did you ladies think about that?
So I think I'm going to defend Gertie a little bit here.
Same.
And I've since found out things about Gertie that don't make me want to defend her, but whatever.
Tell me that.
I will. I think Gertie thought it was a miscarriage. Because that's how, when she was first telling the story, until she said she shook, that the, it was shaken to death, I thought it was either a miscarriage or a stillborn, or like some situation where like, it's still, it doesn't make it any less tragic, but like the baby like didn't really have a chance to live. You know what I mean? So that's, and to be a little bit like relatable, I have also had a miscarriage. So if I'm talking to somebody that has is telling me this story, and I'm thinking like that we have a common experience that we can bond over, I'm not, I don't necessarily think I'm making it about myself. I'm trying to like, I'm trying to connect to somebody like with a shared experience, because it, that kind of that there is a huge stigma still, for whatever the fuck reason, on
people feel very alone.
Not only with miscarriage, but with stillbirths or infant death or whatever, you know, and we don't talk about it, and women do feel very alone and isolated. And with their, if we can find a way to have support systems within our friend groups or other women that can support us, I would want to, I would want to explore it. So I kind of think that that's where Gertie was coming from.
Of course. I 100% agree.
And that's, and truthfully, that's how I had was understanding the conversation was going, until she came out and said that the nanny shook the baby.
I think at the beginning I also thought it was a miscarriage, and I agree, when there's two women that have gone through that experience, it's very palpable. And you kind of, like me, that I have never even been pregnant, I kind of just stay out of the conversation, and let them have a moment, understandably so. And so I think Adriana is just so attached to Julia that she felt like, this is my friend trying to share her pain. But I also didn't take it like she was trying to one up her. I thought they were having this moment.
No, between, I didn't think so either. And I don't even know that it's Adriana being that innocent about it either. I tend to think, because Adriana was like kind of targeting Gertie the whole season, I do kind of feel like, yeah, maybe she was trying to defend Julia or like protect Julia in some way. But I do also think it was like a, you know, you're not allowed to like be friends with my friend.
Yeah, I think she's very terrible.
So I'm not, I don't think it's as innocent as Adriana wants us to think
it's kind of like she was, it's kind of like she was trying to block that bonding. She's like, no, don't bond with her.
Right.
You're going to like her. I don't like this type of
thing. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely feel that's more Adriana, which kind of leads into, well, before we get into their fight at the table, the episode takes us back to Alexia. She finally has a 4-hour conversation with the lover. I thought there was a lot of beautiful healing in that replay, as she's telling Marisol and her other friend. What did you guys think about sitting down with the lover for 4 hours? And I mean, Herman brought his parents from Cuba. Like, he loved him. I thought that was really, I don't know. There was, I felt closure as she felt closure. Although I know you guys have said before that she knew, she had to have known, but what did you guys think?
I think Herman was bisexual. And I think that's very much like, obviously not accepted in the past. And people still, I think people have like a harder time accepting bisexual people. Then
they definitely have a higher time accepting bisexual men.
Absolutely.
True.
Yeah. I think for women, they think it's like, oh, you're just like, ah, oh, you're just a silly girl. And I think Alexia is right. And I think he did love both of them. And I think that's why she claims to, like, I thought she knew. I mean, it's just kind of like, that's what she knew. She knew her husband was bisexual, because she's like, I'm sure she's still like, wait, but like, we're still kind of like having sex, but then there's these rumors and he's like super close to that guy and all of this, you know? So I think that's like part of the confusion. And I think that it was great for her to have closure. It was crazy that he definitely he totally intended to take this to his grave. So in that sense, I kind of understand Leah Black's criticism of Alexia. I think that she's kind of like, listen, this man clearly wished to take this to his grave. And the last thing he wanted was, like, if he wanted this to be public, he would have done it the first time around when he was alive on the show. So I think that Aaliyah Black feels like Alexia is using it for a storyline. But I was like, I think it's kind of real life. I think
Aaliyah Black is annoyed she's not on the show. So,
well, she claims to have been in talks, and
she can claim whatever the fuck she wants. She doesn't even live here anymore.
But that's the problem. She spends more time in LA than she does here now, and that's what she said. That's what she told them. She's like, oh no, like I spend the summer in LA now, so you guys are filming during the summer. I can't.
No, they're filming now. First of all.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it was important.
And they've been filming for like a month. So,
and it was important to her storyline, but we needed to know. I mean, her whole life has shifted.
Yeah.
I think we had the right to know, especially if, like you said, how y'all said it's already a tight circle in Miami. Anyways, this was already out there. Then mm-hmm. I guess she's just getting. And I think as a wife, she deserves that right to write the narrative for herself, the living that is still here, you know?
Look, I do agree with you with everything G said, to be very honest. I do think it was healing for her. And I think regardless of, even if at best they were best friends and she knew everything that was going on.
Yeah.
That's still somebody that she like shared a home with and a life with for 20 mm-hmm. years or however long they were together. Even if, even if at best they were just best friends and had just a very, very close platonic relationship, I would still want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I would still, and I would find comfort from that at least like he was in love and he was loved by somebody else and he was happy, you know, and she said that she was like, he was happy towards the end of his life. And that's all I could want for him.
I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was very mature.
1,000% right.
Mm-hmm. And it was very mature. And I don't think that a lot of people in that situation would be mature about it.
Yeah, Marisol's always absolutely. Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I know that she's had like a crazy life and she's like, she's happy now. And maybe she needed to like know that he was happy in order for even for herself to just kind of like move on.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, even though she has for all intents and purposes moves on, but like, you know, just somewhere deep inside is she just needed like that piece to know that like it was okay to just kind of like,
100%. You know,
take her life in a different direction. So I think it was very positive for her. And I think it was positive for the show, to be honest. I would have loved to have seen it, but I get why the guy wanted privacy. So,
yeah. And I think that is what I love about this particular show. Like, this is the first time it's been nice to see real love amongst gay men, like even through Alexia. It wasn't just like messy, sassy, like stereotype. Mm-hmm. I remember even getting teary-eyed when she said that Herman brought his parents from Cuba. Like, to me, I was like, oh, okay, this was real. Like, and then just him even telling her, you know, he loved you and respected you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to take this to his grave. Like, there was just so much love transferred all through that storyline. I thought it was really positive for audiences to see another side, especially because going now into the next scene, there's been so much messiness with Julia and Adriana, like at the gay pride and them like dancing all each other. I don't know. Like, okay, at the beginning of this fight, I am on Team Gertie's side about this foot massage. What do you guys think about? I don't know if it was the editing, but I was very like, oh, hell no, with this foot massage. Or was it just like funsies? I'm territorial and toxicado. Let me just put that out there. I would not be okay with this.
Don't think Martina is okay with it, if I'm being 100%
definitely
honest.
Not.
And I know that they want us to believe that like Martina flirts with Adriana more than Julia does.
Nope,
and
I'm like, I'm not buying it.
Martina was not thrilled. I'm very sorry.
No. But the foot massage, do you think before they sat down and talked about it, watching the foot massage, did you guys think it was fine or was it crossing the line?
I don't know that it's crossing a line, but it was like not kosher.
For me, it was just crossing a line. I would be
there was just something off about it.
G, crossing the line or what?
Here's my thing about it. I kind of tried to look at it through a different lens. Like, I think that let's say they're very best friends. Like, okay, personally, I would not give my best friend a foot massage. I happen to hate all feet.
Right.
But that's just me. And I think that if this was to straight women, it wouldn't be a big deal. And I think they're not looking at it as two best friends. They're looking at it as like, well, Julia's married to another woman. And how could you do that?
Well, Julia has also taken every chance and every confessional ever to say how much she is obsessed with Adriana. So, and that she's so cute and she's so fiery and she's so Latin and she likes to flirt. Like, Julia also is not doing herself any favors. Yeah. So I can't look at it like, oh, it's platonic, because Julia has made it very clear how much she likes and fawns over Adriana. And Adriana revels it up.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But I think that, first of all, Adriana is upset that she's a friend of. Adriana is going to get into every fight, every controversy, every argument in order to get, not just like guarantee her place next season, but she's like, I'm trying to be a housewife next season. I don't want to be a friend of.
But like,
how can I be a friend of?
But like you mentioned in the last episode, like, why does she need to be a housewife? Because like, we don't have, like, part of being a housewife is like your family life and your personal mm-hmm. life. She's divorced right. and her kid's out in college. So like, what are we right. going to get from her as a full-time housewife outside of what she's already bringing? So right. I mean, I know that there comes, I know it's like a title thing. It's probably also a salary thing where there's a difference between full-time and friend of, but I truly didn't really feel like she or Marisol were friends of. Because yeah, they were literally full-time. In every episode, they were in every single episode.
Yeah,
there were it. You know, I'm Kiki. I would like to see more of Kiki, to be very honest.
I love Kiki. Yeah,
and she was allowed to have her daughter on the show, so I really would like to see more of that. But
for her fashion alone, she's so beautiful just sitting there.
But I bring up Kiki because Kiki wasn't there all the time. Like, Kiki was clearly a friend of.
Yeah.
Whereas Marisol and Adriana, I didn't feel like they were friends of at all. We just need taglines for them at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very hard to demote someone who they were on there for. Marisol.
Allison. No, they're OGs. They're OGs. Season. They're their original.
I mean, Marisol's the damn narrator, you know, the whole season.
Yeah. So it's really hard to demote a housewife like that, because like, you're going to cover more than you would a regular friend because you like are already invested in their story. However, like, there is no story right now. So I understand why. But that doesn't mean Adriana's still not going to try.
Like, right. She thinks she's that always
just bringing the drama is justified. Right.
Yeah.
It's justified. To get that mojito in her hand.
Well, and as we get into that dinner scene, I had a question for our resident event extraordinaire.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you feel that was a good job for Julia's Tulum-inspired birthday?
I thought it was super cute. And I thought Adriana was just like being a bitch just for the sake of it, because there was nothing... And again, Gertie goes on later, not to continue spoiling the reunion for people who haven't seen it, but Gertie talks about like that she did that all from like personal inventory that her company had. She didn't charge Julia a dime, which when my friends ask me for things like that to help them set up like their parties, their personal birthdays, whatever, I do the same thing. So it's like, you have to do what you can because we don't have like unlimited budgets either. We only have certain things that we can, you know, provide or whatever. And she did that just like to be a friend, you know. Now, again, I don't know how much of that is true. I'm sure production, if she would have gone to production and told production like, hey, I need XYZ to pull this off, they would have gladly done it. Okay. But we don't know that.
That makes sense. See, then.
But at this point in filming, production is thinking that they're going to foot probably a good amount of bill for Alexia's wedding.
Oh, probably. True. You're right.
Probably. You know.
Yeah, because so
there was probably not a lot to work with at that point in time.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I haven't seen the reunion yet, but that makes sense that she said it was from her own inventory. I appreciate that, because I was very confused. Like, as a Mexican and also as someone who's gone to Tulum 1,000 times, that was not.
I've never been. Look, truthfully, I've never been to Tulum, so I couldn't tell you that's what Tulum looks like. Tulum. What I can, it was what cute, I can though. What I can tell you is that in Miami, the Tulum theme is very popular for like a bridal shower or for a bachelorette or that kind of scenario. And people, basically what they do here in Miami, which I'm guilty of because that's what clients want and that's what clients in their head think it is. It's kind of like people apply boho to more than it needs to be applied to.
Yeah.
And I say, and Tulum is one of those things that's like, oh, everybody just thinks it's like tropical boho. It's not.
Yeah.
But that's what people want when they want a Tulum party.
Right. So, okay. So that makes sense.
So that's in it. If you're going with the Miami's vision
Tulum, she nailed it. Okay, that's my question, because I was like, wait a minute, I'm missing something. This is not Tulum at all. So to all my Mexicans watching or listening, I feel you, but that's good to know because it is different in different regions. And so I get it now, what you're saying, that like Miami's version of it. Okay,
right. I mean, I don't know if there's like a Nikki Beach in Tulum. I think there might be, but like the
Tulum is very, I mean, because like you guys, well, that scene had the perfect greenery. Tulum is, there's parts of it that are jungle, but it's very much serene oasis. It's more like Newport, lots of just keep it neutral, sand colors, not a lot of vibrant color. It's going to be, there's a lot of retreats there, mental wellness things go on, there's spiritual endeavors. So it's very
interesting.
Calm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a lot more calming on.
See, because like the Tulum that people I've seen or that people portray are, it's very like party and it's very like
beach party,
like beach Vegas, if you will. You know?
And there's different parts of it, right? Because like Cancun, it's serene on the outside, but in the city of Cancun, it is a big metro party. Like Senor Frogs is there, so like it depends. But
yeah,
like,
I've been there, but I haven't been to Tulum. So
yeah, so Tulum is a little more on the outside, but like it, I just thought. What it was a great representation of was, it looked to me like Brazilian carnival. Like Tulum doesn't have dancers like that. Those were carnival dancers.
Those are just Hora Loca dancers.
Hora Loca, I have seen that a lot.
That is a wedding Hora Loca company you should hire.
Yeah, you're right. I have gone to many company cocktail hours and there were a ton of, I have tons on my Instagram. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that is exactly what that is.
You're right.
That's like generic south of the equator.
Correct. Latin dancing.
Kind of dancer. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense to me that she said that then, because I was very confused. I was like, wait, what? But it wasn't.
Yeah, I saw that scene. No, I definitely saw that scene as I was like, wait, like, why is Adriana being like this? Julia didn't pay for this. I never watched this under the assumption that Julia like hired Gertie.
She Gertie, definitely made it seem like Adriana was like, oh, but she definitely, she didn't say it in those words, but she definitely like gave off, wanted to portray the impression like Gertie was hired to do this.
Yeah, for some reason I thought she was
Gertie
paid.
Dropped the ball.
No, I definitely never thought she was paid.
I don't know why. Yeah, I guess maybe I listened to Adriana's rhetoric more. I thought for some reason I thought she was actually paid. Like this was a production, right? And so that's why I wanted to ask our Miami people, because I was like, wait a minute, maybe I'm missing something.
No.
This leads into how this whole episode then falls into their big fight. So much to break down on this. Like it starts with Gertie being messy, but I appreciated it. That was actually my note.
But Gertie's like good messy though.
Yes,
like
I agree.
She brings like a good mess.
Yeah, I was actually for it. That was my note that I love that she was like, these two had a whole foot massage. And let me tell you, I would not be okay with my husband doing that. I loved it. I was here for it. That kind of like kicks everything off. And it's funny because Julia's like, oh, I already beat you to the punch. I told her because I knew I'd get in trouble. Like, you knew you did something wrong then if you're trying to call Martina. So how did this all unfold? What did you guys think? God bless Dr. Nicole over there trying to men things. I was living for Kiki and Larsa's reaction phase. That was my whole. What do you guys think about this fight, Adriana and Gertie? It was a little hyped on both parts. I understand where both are coming from, though. I think Adriana was guilty as fuck. She was feeling the heat that Martina was dead ass looking at her like, bitch, explain yourself. And I think Gertie was coming from a spousal place. I think Gertie is team spouse. And Gertie was like, because my note, the note I wrote down was like, I thought it was really cool that Gertie is doing what we all say, right? We all say love is love, but Gertie is actually saying, I am holding their marriage in the same regard that I hold my own marriage. And it is wrong. And I really love that about this fight. And then I think Adriana was like feeling trágame tierra, and she just wanted to pick any fight to deflect.
I just don't think that Adriana and Gertie are like meant to be friends. Like I just and like that's fine, it makes for good TV, but I just think it's Adriana just being Adriana. And like, look, had Martina come out at that dinner and said like, I'm fine with it, like it's not a big deal, then that would have like ended the conversation right there. But that didn't happen, and it's so obvious that Martina doesn't like it. And to your point, you're absolutely correct. Like if Julia had to already like do damage control before this even happened, then you clearly know that that's not something that Martina would have been okay with.
Especially if her love language is physical touch, I would be upset. You know? So I definitely was like on Gertie's side of this. And then it was like the other part in it was, I get that they didn't understand why she was getting alterada, but then when she has the conversation with the girls in the bathroom, it made a lot of sense to me. She masks a lot of pain with joy, and it's been her survival. And it reminded me a lot of like, not to bring the mood down, but like Robin Williams, when everybody was so astonished at, you know, what happened, because he always put on a happy face. I think she has survived by being able to like put on a happy face. And so in that moment where there was sharing and she was trying to go on and really be vulnerable with her pain, she just doesn't have time for Adriana shit. She's like, done with you. And I kind of appreciate that. As a new housewife, she wasn't going to let Adriana steamroll her or steamright roll over her and all of that. So I think it got lost in context, maybe, or editing, but I definitely understood where she was coming from. Those are my thoughts on it as far as, oh, and then the only other thought I had was like, the fuck is Julia doing going over there and kissing her? Like, girl, I've never known Russians to be associated with passionate kisses. So like,
No, that's like not their thing. Yeah. Maybe because she lived in Paris for so long that like she picked that up.
Yeah. But from, she like, said, it is Russian. That is what we Russians do.
You cannot blame everything on being foreign. I'm sorry. I have a family member that married a Russian, and like he's not cold, but he's definitely not like
passionate kissing.
Like he's not from Argentina, like calm down.
I don't understand that. I was like, girl, nobody has ever accused Russians of being hotly passionate that way, that when a fight breaks out they kiss. That is how they mend things in Russia, she said.
They smash vodka bottles. I've heard of that.
Did you guys have any different thoughts on Gertie? Because I know there was a lot of conversation online. I tended to be the outlier. Most people were on Adriana's side in my DMs, but
I mean, I do appreciate Gertie just like for being a newbie, like just not taking shit. I don't necessarily know that it's. I do think that sometimes Gertie does speak out of turn, and I see where this is one of those situations where people think that she seems like she was speaking out of turn because she's like, I wouldn't let my husband do this or whatever, or I would be appalled if it was happening to my husband or whatever. So I can see that, but like, I do, I do understand the perspective of like, look, if what LGBTQ relationships want is just to be put at the same level as like hetero relationships, that we're going to just hold them to the same standard, then I understand why Martina is upset about this, or why it's not okay. I just think a lot of people are assuming that they're just like friends, and it's and again, not taking a woman's bisexuality seriously, because and they're just thinking that like, oh, it's just fun and it's flirty, and like if they're two drunk girls in college, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like right. It's so, like how some men don't get upset, like, oh yeah, my girlfriend likes to kiss girls when she's drunk, but that's okay, that's not cheating. If she ever did it with a man, it would be like unacceptable, right? So it's like, that's not fair. And like, you guys actually have changed my opinion on this fight, to be honest, because I didn't think about it that way. I mean, probably because I'm not in a relationship, so I don't know what's the big deal. I don't know, but yeah, because I was seeing it, I was like, it's two best friends. Like, why are they always looking at it through that lens just because Julia's bisexual? You know what I mean?
That's true, too. That's a valid point.
That's a valid point. I don't think that that's something that's like, you know, it's just, they're definitely like play. It's hard because they don't do themselves. Yeah, they don't do themselves any favors. Like, they can sit there, and say they're just best friends and whatever, but then they like don't do themselves any favors. And I just think it walks like a dangerous line. And at some point, Martina's gonna get pissed, or something is gonna happen where it's just gonna be like, it's not something is going to actually cross the line, and you know, and then there's gonna be like a huge falling out or some kind of crazy shit like that.
And I think it comes down to the fact that she's married. That's my problem. Like, if Julia was
they're not married, just dating.
Right. If they were just dating, it'd be different. But they're married. And like, and then also, and like, it's Martina.
Martina also is very much like a very involved stepmother to Julia's kids, too.
They're a whole family.
They're a family. Yeah. It's like, there is a definite family dynamic. It's not like, oh, my mom just married some rich tennis lady, you know, they're very much a family.
Yeah, and I think that's why I am on Gertie's side on that, because I was pissed. I'm like, why are you touching her feet? Again, like, I agree with you, though. Like, that is true, because like, my best friend in the whole world, BFF, she is gay, and there is nothing wrong. We've shared rooms together, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. And so I do understand what you mean. Like, people always want to paint it like it, like two women.
It's nefarious, can't be friends. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And that is true, too, because that's bullshit. However, she's been in a very long-term committed relationship. I would never cross those boundaries. Yeah.
Right.
Nor has she ever offered.
I have a very similar situation. And one of my really good friends is a lesbian, and she's married. And like, there was like, I'm very into fashion. There was one time where she was like asking me to like help her like style for like a thing or whatever. And her wife was there with her. And I'm like, can I like touch you so that I can like fix what you're wearing? And I asked her wife, I'm like, do you mind? Like, you know, like there's certain things that like you have to respect a relationship regardless.
Exactly.
You know, like it's not just because, oh, you're a girl and I can like, you know, you're a girl and you're a lesbian, so I can grab your boobs and it's fun or whatever. Like, it's not like it's a relationship.
Yeah, I think that's what was so hurtful, is the lack of respect. And I didn't think I cared until I saw that Martina was so hurt. It like hurt me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the next episode starts with her talking about it again. And I'm like, she's hurt. She's hurt by this. And I like love Martina now more than I did.
That's what I said. That's why I said, like in the last episode, like I think Martina is going to be like one of those housewife spouses that we're going to really like enjoy watching. Like, she's gonna be up there with like the Frank Catanias and the Mario Umanskis, like as we continue to get to Mauricio as we continue to get to know her. I really, because I think people are gonna gravitate to her, number one, because she's Martina, like, right, you know. But I think that like, as we continue to get to know Julia in the next season and Martina, like, I really do feel like she's gonna be like more of a, like a house husband, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to put it like that, but you know.
One of the favorite spouses. Yeah. Right. I do love her a lot already, and we've only seen so little. that kind of wraps up that episode. And then in the next episode, I know this is the big one and we'll get to that at the end, but they start off kind of just rehashing what happened, but there wasn't anything too much. They kind of touch base with all the ladies. I know one of you said you were a fan of Larsa. I don't understand if we're talking about pointless housewives. I mean, I don't get it, but I guess, but like she sat there and her whole thing this last episode on episode 5 is she's talking about how she feels her kids really believe that OnlyFans is probably a site for mommies. Girl,
no, they don't. Her kid is her oldest is 20. Get the right? fuck out of here.
I was like, shut up.
Her oldest probably has friends that subscribes to her fucking OnlyFans. Probably. Get the fuck out of here.
And do we still believe it's feet? Because she's
no.